All right, let me just pause. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
Perfect. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hours. We're coming around the bend in the back portion of the year. We are delighted that all of you are here with us. We have lots of tools and resources and strategies to share with you related to the selling of media and ad space, and have lots to tell you about the things that we observe with leaders around the world. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you to close your office door, turn off your electronics, try to find a space that's quiet, so therefore there's no background noise. And remember, the more notes and the more notes you make and take, the more we're transferring the knowledge, infusing the knowledge. It's not an accident with that. We're not putting something up on your screen that would create multitasking or many-tasking. In fact, by taking notes from all of the very best in adult research and what we've seen over 21 years means that the knowledge becomes yours, which is our goal. We're going to be talking today about rate card integrity. We're also going to talk about rate card increases on the back end. We have more than 2 pages of questions that we've already sorted and sifted into the various categories, and we'll relate it to the 4 points we're going to cover today, and we'll field those along the way. Plus, if you send any additional questions during the course of our teleseminar, we'd be more than happy to field those as well, either here or afterward. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of Media Bids. Jed, I always appreciate our working together over the last decade plus as we're going forward. How about some opening words to the group and a little bit about Media Bids and what you're seeing big picture in the world of media trends? An updated
foot. All right. Thanks, Ernest. First I want to thank Ernest. He does a great job with these teleseminars. I always learn a lot. Hopefully you will as well. He has an enormous amount of knowledge and experience when it comes to all things advertising related. So thank you, Ernest. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of Media Bids. We are a company that has... That is focused on driving revenue to print publications. We do that in several different ways, but our goal and the reason for our existence is to put revenue back into print advertising. Right now we're working primarily on the holidays. We've got a lot of holiday related advertising, and the holidays have begun for us. So we're kind of knee-deep or chest-deep in holiday-related advertising, we think it's going to be a solid year. The trick for us, what we find when it comes to our advertisers, is making sure that our advertisers have really good offers that are interesting to the consumers. And I think we have a group of holiday advertisers this year that really fit that bill. And as a result, we're expecting, a big year. Previous years, we've had some that have been good and others that haven't been as good, and it shows. The advertisers aren't as happy because there just aren't as many people who want to respond to the ad. Not really the publication's fault. It's not it's sort of a missed. They missed the mark on what consumers were looking for. But this year, we think we have a group that is that's really strong. So that's what I'm working on, look forward to learning from Ernest over the next hour.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, thank you so much. And as you listen to Jed speak throughout the course of the year and years, he has shared an incredible wealth and depth of knowledge about the tens of thousands of ads, literally millions and millions of inbound calls, and the trends that relate to the results of ad success. We encourage you to come back into the Media Bid site and go back and re-listen to those. As recent as the last 60 days, he's put on an amazing program for us and shared an incredible amount of insight. So Jed has unique knowledge. I truly believe there's no one sitting behind a keyboard that sees advertisers on the right and results on the left anywhere in the world like Jed does. And when he speaks, I listen, quite honestly, very respectfully. So, Jed, thank you so much. Really appreciate all that you always bring and the passion for helping ad sales leaders around the world win and also driving revenue for them. To each of you and all of you, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. This is our 247th Educational Power Hour, and Jed and I together over the last 10 years have put on a wealth of programs, well over 100 hours of opportunities for you to listen and learn about the selling of ad sales. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, launched three of my own publications, was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and then in 1995, the launching of my company, Power Hour. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500, the most recent count, ad sales leaders now in 13 time zones globally as we roll into our soon-to-be our 21st year. We provide executive coaching, which simply means that we help you reach your goals with more grace and more ease. We love to say the hotter it is in the kitchen, the more you've got really big goals, big dreams, big opportunities, the more that we want to be there and help you lead. One of the signature parts of the work that we do, every Tuesday we host an Ad Sales Academy, just like you're dialing in here today, except that we're live. We field your questions real time. We field your questions by voice. We take them by email, and we work on that particular topical area until everybody has everything they need. And when we do, and when you have what you need, we roll out, and we see you the following Tuesday. Every Monday, you get an audio message related to the theme of the week. Just simply come in to powerhour.com, and you can learn more about that. So, Jed, today, rate card integrity, who is watching? our topic du jour, rate card integrity, and then we'll not only talk about that, but then we'll back in on the back end and talk about rate card increases, and we've got lots and lots of questions, so we'll do one part, what our principles are related to this, and then the other part, we'll field the questions that we're rolling along here. So, Jed, the first point we're going to talk about is the five reasons to never sell an ad for less than your rate card, okay? And you know, let's start with, you know, point number one, and that is we're out in the marketplace and we're building trust. You know, think about that. Think about if in reverse. If you owned a, you know, an automotive dealership or a furniture store, or fill in the blank, a realtor in the marketplace, whatever it is, you know, imagine yourself being on the other side of the table, right? If I were to come sit down, if Jed were to come meet with you, and we're going to walk through, here's our editorial, or here's our CIRC, or here's what makes us different, or here's our website, or here are the ad results, you know, all of those things are very nefarious, meaning they're just out there, right? They're just kind of like we're hearing the concepts of what it is you're telling us about your media solutions, but it's not tangible. Jed, it's not like we're going to go out and buy a washer and dryer. Okay, boys, bring it in. Yep, I can see the washer and dryer. I mean, you know, it's a little bit more out there. And the whole element of trust is vitally important. I can remember in some of my early media days that there was a new competitor that came in town, put up all these outdoor street boxes in order to be able to distribute their publication, but never filled them with anything. It was literally a billboard. It was the ultimate non trustful moment, because then we went out and took 100 pictures and made presentations of the 100 racks that had literally nothing in them. Obviously, we called them out from that perspective. So number one is the part about market trust. Everything you say you do and everything you promise you're going to do, vitally important. Another little side note, we have a recruiting division within Power Hour. We help companies find great people. We help great people find great media companies. And one of the number one reasons that we hear when someone comes to us and say, look, I'm leaving my media group, it's because the company is not doing what they said, or the media kit and presentation and what's actually being done, there's a gap, okay? Vitally important from that perspective. Number two. One lead discount leads to lots more discounts. Now, I'm going to share a little story on this, Jed. It was I was in my California days. It was a wonderful, bright, articulate, energetic sales rep who worked for me. Her name was Carrie. And Carrie really worked hard to sell her ads. But she would come into my office, you know, on a pretty routine basis and would want just something extra for advertisers. Can I shave this? Can I adjust that? Can I reduce this? And my answer consistently was, no, we can't do that. This is our rate card. No, that's not possible. This is how we work with our rate card. No, that agreement's got to be signed. No, this is the term. And we kind of rolled along. There was one moment in time I'm flying through the office. She asked me for something. Jed, I don't even know if I remember what Carrie was asking, but she was always working me for something. And I was like, yeah, Carrie, that sounds fine. I walked out the door. The next morning, she slid it on my desk. And she said, you know, now, Ernest, now that you agreed to this, can I go do this with five more advertisers? And then before the coffee was finished that morning, I had two more sales reps standing in front of me. Hey, I heard what you did for Carrie. Will you let me do the same? And so, Jed, you know, it's that little piece called the genie comes out of the bottle. All right. So when we permit our team, or when we discount off our rate card, it leads to lots more discounting with our reps, for those of you in a leadership position, ad agencies in the marketplace, advertisers, and it becomes a sort of negative sort of spiral, okay? And that's the third part, and that is ad buyers talk. Ad buyers know each other. Ad buyers move around. If you've ever worked in a scenario where you're working with a decision maker or an ad buyer or someone at an agency and they move to another agency or another company in that same industry or sector, guess what? They say, well, gee, I noticed, I looked down at the rate card, or gee, I noticed in our budget we're paying X, but how come when I was at my prior company I was paying Y? Okay, so Jed, we bump into that piece that buyers move around within the agency world. You know, look at someone on LinkedIn and look to see where they are today, and then notice that they were two prior agencies. Or look at a buyer today that might be in the mining and energy space, for example, and you look at that buyer, they go, yeah, but they used to be in marketing for two other mining and energy companies before. So we have that credibility factor as well in terms of why we don't sell off our rate card. Number four, and then I'll pause here. Jed, we also have this piece called it creates this downward spiral. It creates this spiral of lost revenue and lost profitability, because even though we might be making a small a shift on our rate card, by doing so could actually create a larger ripple effect working its way all the way down through the profitability. Further to that, which we'll talk about soon here today, is that it creates a vulnerability. We're more vulnerable to competitors doing exactly what you're going to hear in a few minutes to what we're going to be doing to them. And when you hear what we're going to be doing to them, this point about the downward spiral can literally spiral your way out of business. That's how serious and significant can be when we talk about those particular examples. And then lastly, point five is that creates a major problem when you go to sell your media company. For those of you who are owners, presidents, CEOs of your company, when you go to sell your company, which we help our clients do on the back end, and you come to us, we talk about this. Talk to us about your signed agreements. Talk about a length of agreement. Talk about your variance to rate card comes right out of the gate. There's no place to hide. You either have it or you don't. You're either on rate card or you're not, and it creates a serious problem. And in some cases, media buyers or those who might buy your media company step back from the table, and they're gone, never to return. We've seen it over and over in the last two-plus decades. So, Jed, your observations, before we work our way through some of the questions, your observations about this piece about discounting from rate card.
I'm in a unique perspective here on this call, mm-hmm. because I am, mm-hmm. I am probably often one of the people who's trying to buy off the rate card. So it's a little bit like, you know, inviting the dog to the party or something. But I think it's a good point. I think that one of the things that's always amazed me about many publications is that if I have a new advertiser, someone who hasn't been loyal and hasn't been with the publication for very long, oftentimes I can get a better rate for a new advertiser than I can for someone who's been there a long time. And so from my perspective, that's just a completely upside down logic. I hear this from publications pretty consistently. Oftentimes, large dailies, they'll say, you know, I can give you that rate for this customer, but that's a rate that a lot of other people aren't getting. And while it's great, and while I understand the incentive to want to get a new advertiser into the publication and have them try it and all those reasons, you know, I oftentimes feel like it maybe diminishes the value that the advertisers who should be rewarded are receiving, because they're really the advertisers who are keeping the publication, you know, in business and thriving and hopefully making money, because if you think about really any other kind of business, oftentimes, not oftentimes, I would say almost always, right? That return customers, customers who are coming back time and time again, are the ones who are getting the best pricing, and that has some logic to it, right? It makes some sense. I have found that, you know, and it's unfair to say for all publications, but certainly for many publications, I've found the opposite to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this piece, as you're listening to Jed, you know, speak about this, the part about our media rates, I mean, we do need to be crisp in terms of what is our value, what is it we're bringing separate and unique to the marketplace. On the other side, you know, what is our CPM? How does that compete in the marketplace? What are the ad results? What are we tracking on the other side? There's all these pieces. It's a very complex formula, but what we do know is if you go out to 10 buyers in a marketplace and you have 10 different rates, you are going to get your nose in a noose. And if you have competitors, like we're going to talk about holding you accountable, you're going to find that if you have 10 different rates, the 10th lowest rate is going to become the rate for all 10, and maybe the next 10 and the next 10, and you're going to find yourself in a downward spiral that, frankly, some companies never recover from. Let's work our way, Jed, through some of the questions that came in related to this topic. And again, we'll field your questions during the course of our teleseminar. Just simply reply to the confirmation that we sent to you, tuck them in there, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. So let's field. Let's start with number one. Jesse in Texas asks, if not a discount, then what? Okay. So Jesse, my first piece is, what are the hot buttons of that buyer? What are they really buying for? And buying for is generally they want more of something or less of something. They're either moving towards profit or more revenue on that side or more customers, whatever the more is, or they're working on the other side that biz isn't going so well. They come from the side of the fear side. So what are the hot buttons on either side of that? And then also, you know, think about what if not a discount, then what? Well, my question then would be, what really matters to that ad buyer? You know, might there be a little extra remnant space or fill space on the print side that you might weave in? Therefore, we're not coming off of our rate card. We're giving them a little more value add, all right? Maybe it's a little extra space on the digital. That's often easier to pull out. Maybe you slide them over and give them a little prime placement for maybe the first 30 days. And maybe that's enough. They go, wow, that's great. You're creating that nice win-win. Or maybe there's a little something you might tuck into the newsletter. You know, maybe it might be that you might have your photographer, Jesse, in your case, because you focus on weddings. Maybe your photographer might do some extra pictures for them that you can then give a gift to them afterward, or you might put in a nice frame that they can put up on their wall. You know, some of those nice personal touches. Look for those kinds of things, Jesse. So it's an excellent question. This piece here also about, you also ask, what about first-time advertisers and a lower rate? That's a little tricky, because if you roll that out to them, then it's got to be publicly out there so that you're consistent across all first-time advertisers. And then, Jed, you go down the path of, wait a minute, you got the first-time advertisers that have never advertised, you're bringing in a one rate, but the established ones are paying more. Wait a minute, if I'm an established one and you're offering that, what do you want me to do, come out of your publication or come off your website every other issue so I can get that newer rate? It can create a bit of a challenge from that side. David in North Carolina asks, is it ever okay to discount from the rate card? For example, early pay or early renewal. Now, that is an interesting piece. Early pay is one thing. We do have our clients, many of them will say payment in full, and then there might be a 2% discount for that. But that's public. That's consistently across the board, and they use that to improve what? Cash flow. So if you do that, David, then if it's payment in full, yes. Now, you also ask for early renewals. So is it okay to discount for early renewals before the new rates? And the answer is, if you have an increase upcoming in the new year and you go out to your renewals to say, look, why don't we take care of this renewal sooner so that we'll honor this year's rates going into next year, that's very acceptable. We've seen that for a long time. The only downside, of course, is if you go out and renew half your advertisers this year, they're not going to see the increase next year. So it prolongs it. It does ding your cash flow a little bit. So we do not just, you know, sort of whitewash that. We sort of talk a little bit about, you know, your rising cost on one side and what the impact of it is. But it is common practice, and then we do use it to stimulate new sales this time of year to say, look, let's get you signed up because you'll be new into this year's rates, which means that you're not going to should be picking up next year's increases. So we certainly follow that thinking as well. Jed, any? Let's see, Jed. Let me field one more, Jed, and then I'll see if you have any comments on these three scenarios. We have Amber in Massachusetts, who says, "What are the best practices to handle legacy company customers who are far off the rate card due to deals negotiated years ago?" Amber, that is a tricky one. Two pieces. One, you can stair step up. You can sit down with an advertiser and say, look, you know, you are blank dollars or blank percent off our standard rate card. I'm not looking to recoup all of that this year, but we do need a plan to stair step you forward from where you are, depending on how big the gap is, and we might incrementally do it over 2 years, over three, maybe four, depending on how many this relates to and how far off and whether or not you can sustain your profitability. That's the piece on that side with renewals and existing advertisers, to be very transparent. The second part of that is new advertisers come in a rate card. So what you actually end up, Amber, is a blended rate. You've got those that are at sort of the old rate. You have those you're stair-stepping up into the second or third or fourth year up, and then you've got the new rate coming in, and actually that actually helps in that blended rate to pull up your revenue line and your profitability. Jed, any comments regarding Amber or Jesse or David's questions?
No, they're all excellent questions. I mean, it's really, you know, I don't envy salespeople who run into any of those scenarios. I think that they can be, you know, incredibly difficult to navigate. You know, I think that, you know, I mean, one of the things I mention on every call is sort of the value of tracking ads and being able to show advertisers what their ads are actually producing. You know, I feel like that data really gives you a leg up when it comes to really any of these issues. You know, whether it's someone who you know, who's way off the rate card because of legacy deals, or a new advertiser that's pushing for a discount, or whatever it might be. You know, by tracking the results, you're able to shift the focus of you know, away from a conversation which is only about buying real estate, only about buying, you know, a certain amount of space for a certain amount of dollars, and turning it into a conversation about results and customers and the value of advertising. It's something that most advertisers, as probably everyone knows on this call, something most advertisers rarely do on their own. So to the extent that you can incorporate that data and incorporate that information, it really gives you the ability to change the conversation, and I would argue, you know, get away with charging a lot more, because it gives you the ability to say to advertisers that are doing well, hey, you're doing well, you should pay more.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep. And there was one more question from David, and David, this is a, you know, never a fun one, but how about if an ad has a typo? Do you comp it? Well, you know, in the old days, when there was just a phone number, the answer was yes, we did comp it, and have done all kinds of creative things to handle that. But yes, gulp. But nowadays, with an email address that's there, a website that's there, a phone number that's also there, Jed, I'm sure you bump into from time to time, you know, if a phone number is off or some issue happened and somebody signed off incorrectly, when you have a web address, you can go two paths. So generally, David, today in our current, you know, media world, you can kind of work around that. And frankly, even if the URL and the phone number were wrong, I can still type in, you know, David's, you know, dog care, and I can still get to your company on the web or off my mobile, right? So, you know, honestly, today there's a bit of a workaround related to that. So thank you for that question, and we'll keep fielding your questions. Point number two that we promised to cover, four steps for preparing to handle a competitor who is not selling from their rate card. And I must say to all of you that just in general, this is this reoccurring theme that whenever we talk about this, it creates such a buzz. We have such large attendance to the work that we do here when I cover it, and we talk about it during our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. And honestly, it's a subject that is about your state of mind and your attitude to this. So before we talk about the specifics of what to do about it, let's just talk about sort of our mental prep, right? And I often will think about sort of the, you know, being a sprinter. You know, when you know, you're up on the balls of your feet sprinting down a track, you're leaning in and you are running at the maximum speed. But if you were to stand still for just a moment and lean back and you can feel your heels, you pause and go, all right, there's the back of my heels. And then lean forward. You can feel the ball of your foot. And that little subtle motion back and forth, it's a reminder that the difference between being on defense or offense when you're fielding an advertiser's objection of any kind is that minor. It's simply your decision. So point number one is, what is your attitude? You know, when you field an objection like your competitor's giving me this rate or giving me this placement or giving me this extra space, do you say to yourself, oh boy, here it comes, back on your heels? Or do you lean and go, yes, I need to know that my competitors are weakening it over there. I need to know that my competitors are feeling the pressure that they're giving it away. I need to know that my competitors are not as savvy as me and my team, and they're exposing themselves to a whole, what's coming soon to a whole lot more damage than maybe even they realize. That downward spiral that we talked about a couple of minutes ago. So your attitude is everything. Number two, what is your plan? You know, what is your plan for the way that you're handling this objection about selling off rate card, or any objection for that matter? We'll often talk about with our ad sales teams, Jed, we'll say, hey, so what's up on your board in terms of the top 3 or 5 or 10 most frequently asked objections? How do you handle that? How are you role-playing related to that, which is another point of our preparation? You know, and then as an ad buyer, bluffing. Let's never skip over that. You know, that sometimes is, well, I thought you could give me a better rate, or, well, I've heard that others are. Really, great, tell me more. Now, when you ask that and you sort of start by, when you're asked for, this is one of our Tuesday Academy negotiating principles, and this is called give to get. So if you're going to give me that objection or you're going to give me the fact that others are discounting, I'm going to get back something, and I'm going to simply ask you a question. Say, really, tell me more. What is it you're specifically getting? I'd love to cover that. Let's work on that. And because I know that before I respond to that bluff or not, I need to first identify, are they bluffing? Or number two, if they have specifics, then I'm going to be going right to my log that I can log in, another data point that I learned about a media site, a newsletter, or a print publication from that perspective, okay? So point number two, are they bluffing? What's our plan? Point number three is role-playing. All right, practicing fielding objections, not just this one called, you know, am I getting a better price or can you give me a better price, but it's each of those key objections. Practice role-playing till it's comfortable, okay? Work it as a team. And then when you find that you field an objection slightly different, you turn the diamond 2 more degrees, share it with your team or make note of it if you're a smaller organization so you don't lose track of it. So when someone asks me about how do I get great placement in your website, newsletter, or your print, or how do I get a better price, or how do I fill in the blank, make a list of those things. Put it in writing. It's sort of a cheat sheet in front of you so that you have it so that you don't lose it, okay? And then we find that to be very valuable for those that we coach around the world. Point number four, your media comparison. We've talked about that for all of our 2 decades of working with ad sales teams, because here's the reason why you need a media comparison. Once you've handled the bluff or not about rate card, that's generally not enough to seal the deal. And let me explain, Jed, what that means. If you start to talk about, well, I'm getting this discount, and you start to, and you go down that path, and then you call them off that, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. And once you've handled that, if you don't have the next step, you generally won't finish the sale. It's not enough. All you've done is taken price out of the equation, which now gives you the opportunity to come back to value. Once you come back to value, now you've got your media comparison to talk about. Gee, so long as you mentioned my competitor, with your permission, can I show you my media comparison? And based on that, then you walk through it, and that's where you end up closing the sale. So it's very important in your prep that is very key for us when we're positioning ourselves to field this objection or any objection. Jed, any comments on that before we work through some of the questions tied to point number two?
You know, I think that sometimes it seems like publications try to get around some of these issues by by creating different advertiser classes or different advertising categories. You know, I don't know what you think about that, Ernest. I can tell you that from an advertiser's perspective, it can be just incredibly frustrating and seemingly arbitrary. You know that, you know, because if you ask about the price of an advertiser and it's a direct response advertiser, it's this price. But if they list the address of a retail store, it's this price. And if it's a national retail store, it's that price. So it can sort of feel a little bit sometimes like you're playing a shell game, right. And you're not just kind of there's not a straightforward price. So if you present the information in the right way, now I'm talking from an advertiser perspective, right? If you present the information in the right way, or sort of say the right magic word, you'll get a much better price, as opposed to, you know, a more straightforward approach where it's look, you know, this is the price.
You raise a great point. And one of the things that we've done here, and one of the things we do in our Tuesday Academy, we talk about the merchandising of our rate card. And I must tell you, one of the first things that I realized in the media space when I was learning about my competitors in the earliest days is I got a newspaper rate card, a media kit, and I was like, wow, this media kit is dry. There's all kinds of missing information, and the rate card was incredibly complex. So I can share with all of you and Jed with you as well that, yes, I don't like media kits that are confusing. I don't like them with all of the exceptions and the asterisks to the side. I like it clean. And you're right back talking about what I opened up and saying it's about trust. You know, by the time you get done with all these different scenarios, you're going, I'm actually losing trust. A, I'm confused, and B, I'm losing trust. And then the other part, let's all remember that what we're also forgetting or missing is the silent decision maker. If I give a presentation to Jed, but Jed's got to bring it back to a committee, or Jed's got to bring it to the decision maker if he's at an agency, or Jed's got to bring it over to the CFO or CEO, Jed's never going to be able to convey those nuances or that confusion. So your media kit has got to sell and tell and walk and talk whether you are in the room or not. Vitally important. And Jed, thank you for bringing that up. Let's work our way through some of the questions here that have come in. Drew in California asks, how do you get premium rates? Well, we've touched on some of those things. Your media comparison is vitally important, your value, your USP, your CPM. We've been working and weaving around that. But that's how, and then the other side of premium rates is how we position and sell scarcity, prime placement, prime positions, select access is vitally important to the premium side, and we have wonderful success stories on that. You also asked you about long-term ad contracts. Are they a thing of the past? Positively, no dice. They continue to be important, and they continue to be vitally important. Whenever a media group goes to sell their company, one of the opening conversations is, can we do a review, or at least in the first stage, talk about your ad agreements, but in the due diligence step, every single ad agreement needs to be reviewed. A little story on that. There was a gentleman who sold probably 5 or 6 years ago. Gentleman who sold his company, been in business probably 20 or 25 years, kind of old school. Everything was done on a handshake, and basically there were no agreements. And the media group that came in to buy them, our client on that side, looked at it and said, hey, this is great, but we have no way of knowing how much of this will stick, and we do not want 400 pages of advertising peeling away, so we're going to agree to a price with some caveats, which means, number one, we're going to pay you a third over 36 months in order for us to come in, put our agreements in place, put our systems in place, and then the second and third year, checks will be determined based on the success of what happens in the first year, because we need to keep those 400 pages. By the way, we also need you on retainer, because we have a major problem in those 400 pages. We need you to jump in, because that will significantly impact your check in the second and third year. Now, fortunately, it did go better than planned, and it worked out nicely, but we've had other stories that did not go so well. So, Drew, it's a great, great question related to that. Let's see. Lori in Florida asks, what about how do you counter when someone says we're using Facebook? Okay, couple of comments about that. I'm going to surmise that that means that they're using their Facebook, and we have a lot of insight and coaching related to this, but the number one piece out of the gate is the word throttle. And if you know what the word throttle means related to Facebook, then you know how to field that objection. If you don't, you're chasing your tail. okay? And that's because in the earlier days of Facebook, a company could load up a page, put out something, it would be fed across everyone's news feed, and they had unbelievable success. Those days are long gone. In fact, they were gone 3 years ago. 3 years ago, the world changed, and every time the word throttle is used in a sentence by Facebook, throttle also means the equivalent of they're going to go sell more ad space. Wall Street loves it, and if you want to know why Facebook went from $17 and today is sitting at about 117, almost 100 points large, more, it's because of the word throttle. They are adjusting what goes in your news feed, and therefore they're able to sell more ads, and tied to that, advertisers have less and less impact, whether they realize it or not. One of the key pieces to look at, and we have a whole sort of body of work, Lori, about this particular topic, but in a nutshell, you have to know every single social media used by advertisers. You have to do that as part of your prep. You have to look at frequency of post, quality of post, and then quality of engagement or lack thereof. You'll go walk in and say, I'm trying to sell an ad to this plumber. They tell me everything's happening on Facebook. There are 10 likes, and there's not a single post, comment, or any engagement in the last 12 months. So how is it possible that that ad is working or their visibility is working? The answer is it's not, okay? But unless you know that and you're walking into presentations with that level of knowledge, and then we also have recommendations of how to work this into your media kit, okay? We call this our current media page where we talk about and showcase articles and news that explains these principles like throttling that gives you the credibility that you need. So it's just an excellent question. Let's see. There's one more question here, and then, Jed, I'll pause. Gonzalo asks, is sending the rate card right away, is that good strategy? Gonzalo, it's interesting. 2 weeks ago on our Tuesday Academy, we addressed this particular question. Please do not just send your rate card out. You need to get some level of agreement or specifics. A, you could be getting shopped, and B, do not send that out without getting the opportunity to give a presentation. It's the give and get strategy. Hey, I'll send this over. Let me understand what else you'd like us to include. Let me share what else is interesting and important. I'll highlight that. And then could I also book the meeting either by phone or in person that we can walk through it together, okay? In person is preferable if you're local, and if you're from afar, it's obviously by phone. And then Gonzalo also asks, Jed, is the rate card a good option for small businesses like mom and pop, Gonzalo? I've never seen media sold without a rate card, okay? So it doesn't matter if you're selling to a publicly held company worth gabillions or Mary and Bob's, bakery. It doesn't matter. You bring that in, and that becomes your talking point in conjunction with whatever else you've got cooking. Jed, that was a lot that I covered there. Comments or observations about any of those points or questions?
I mean, you know, one thing I just wanted to mention about the rate card, whether you should send it out. I mean, we very often get clients, that will be interested in 400 or 500 different publications. And so we've got to get information from each of those publications about what. And I don't think this is a unique situation for someone who's sort of working in an agency capacity, or even for a large company that does their own type of advertising. I mean, I think that, if someone tells me, we need to schedule a meeting before I can give you a price, I'll try to have that. But the problem is, if I've got 2 days to compile this information, that can be sort of physically impossible. I think you just want to be careful with kind of making hard and fast rules like that, because I think that there are circumstances where not releasing your rates just, frankly, just kind of takes you out of the discussion.
Jed, let me just pause just to clarify. If you and I were speaking back and forth and you said, hey, Ernest, I'd like to, place an ad, I'd be like, hey, great, there's so much I'd love to share with you. Can I walk you through? Hey, Ernest, look, I'm really running tight. I got a tight deadline. Great. Just tell me the 2-3 things you're most interested in. You're just in our editorial or our CERC or our CPA. Great, I'll highlight that. Great, let me send it over to you. I would like an opportunity to review it. If today's not good, could we meet later this afternoon or tomorrow? But I am still going to send it. I didn't want to, right. If that wasn't clear, let me just clarify. We are going to send it. I would send it to you, but I'm hoping I can get an agreement that we can review it together. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to clear, because if I wasn't clear enough for you, then maybe I wasn't clear enough for our group joining us today. I do not want to hold off on that, but I want to get what? A level of agreement. Can we meet this afternoon or tomorrow? There's so much more to our story, but I'm not going to prevent. I am going to flesh out this, make certain you're a buyer. If you say, yeah, send it to Jed at Gmail, and my name is Jed Jones, and you don't give me a website, and you don't, and I'm going to go pull you on LinkedIn before I even talk to you. But if I can't find you there, and it's Jed at Gmail, I'm going, I think you're shopping me. I think you're a competitor. So that might be the only exception that I may pause. But beyond that, no, you shoot straight. You call me up and say, I'm Jed. I'm a media biz. This is what I need. I'm like, great. I'm sending it over. Let me highlight two or three things you said are important. They're on page 4 and 6. If it were possible, I understand your tight deadline, but if it's possible, I really would like to meet to walk through, because there's 4 or 5 things that are unique about what we do. Boom.
Okay. Let me ask you yeah. another question.
Yeah,
if,
please.
From an advertiser's perspective, how can it be that the rate cards of publications are so different? And is this worth it for print publications to address when they're talking to an advertiser? For example, I could talk to a 50,000 circulation daily in Austin, Texas, and they mm-hmm. could give me a cost per thousand of mm-hmm. $50. I can talk to a 50,000 circulation in San Francisco, and they can give me a cost per thousand of $200.
Mm-hmm.
As an advertiser, this mm-hmm. can be very confusing, because mm-hmm. you're sort of left, since the products, from an advertiser's perspective, for the products mm-hmm. seem so similar, like
right.
you know, a hamburger is a hamburger.
Right.
Why? How could it possibly be that one product, one person selling it for, you know, for 4 times as much as
right.
another guy?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And is that worth
yep.
addressing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a couple of pieces. Number one, there is no central clearinghouse, as you know, that the CPMs can be all over the board. In fact, some that you speak with in the media space can't even get tight on their own CPMs, okay? So you have that piece, that there's no central across the board. You know, but then you have the other nuances. For example, you know, let's just take newspapers for just a moment. You could have a dominant newspaper with no competitor in the marketplace, and they can get a CPM of 200. You could have a dogfight going on in a small market between two, and they're getting 20. You know, dollars on a CPM. You have all these little nuances. You could have a small market like we have, for example, where our corporate offices are in Park City, affluent, high level of readership, high level of engagement, and frankly, that can be worth 40 or 50 because advertisers do well from that perspective. You know, that all those variables, and that's the sales rep's job of explaining why I am 50, and in other markets, it's 25. You could go to Sun Valley, which is more transient, and not pick up enough readership, and they're at $10 cost per thousand. So it can be all over the board, quite honestly, and I think it's always been that way, and it's the sales rep's job to explain those nuances. And then you as an advertiser, and obviously in the media bid space, you sit back and go, look, you know what, I'm going to buy across these 20 newspapers, and I'm going to lean back and look to see who's bringing what, then I'm going to decide where I'm renewing and where I'm going to continue or where I'm not. You know, you have that very unique perspective. Most advertisers don't have the benefit of comparing side by side, though, like you do, so you have a very unique sort of bird perch looking out across all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's true. It's true, but I think it's something which doesn't help the print industry, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think that
mm-hmm.
I think this enormous variation is something that that leads, and I'm not suggesting this is necessarily true, but it leads advertisers to believe that someone's ripping them off, right? I mean, they can't sort of help but think that if the products are so
mm-hmm.
so similar that the prices
mm-hmm.
should be more similar.
Okay. I'm going to give you counterpoint to that, though. Because if
yep.
you look at Google, and our clients buy Google AdWords, okay, and Ray, who drives our program, there's more than $1 million a month of keywords being bought on behalf of clients behind the scenes. How about the fact that you can come in and be buying a keyword in a market for $6 this month, and next month it costs you $9? That's a 50% jump 30 days later.
Fair enough, but the counterpoint to that is that the marketplace is setting that price, not Google.
But the counterpoint to that is it's changing every 30 days. In other words,
it's based on demand, right? There used to be publications, and I haven't seen this pricing model lately, but there used to be a group of publications, and what they would do is they would say, we are going to have one mattress store in our publication this issue, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to take an ad from the highest bidder. So this month we might get $500 for it. Next month, you know what? There's a guy who wants to pay $6, so we're going to sell it to him.
Yeah.
Right? The rate card, to some extent, was dictated by demand, right?
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what – I mean, I'm not saying that Google is playing it fair, right? But their argument that they – what they have to fall back on is this incredibly confusing idea of the marketplace mm-hmm. setting the price. So
You're right. Mm-hmm.
To me it just seems like, and I'm not suggesting that the prices shouldn't be different. I'm simply saying that I think, especially if you're dealing with a regional or national advertiser, mm-hmm. And even a local one that might be advertising in a couple different places, I think explaining why your rate card is what it is, whether that means sort of describing the editorial, the money you put into editorial, or the money you put into your mailing lists, or the money you put into your subscriber relations, or I think that makes sense to me, right? Now I understand. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like, it's like the difference between going to McDonald's or a really, really nice restaurant. Like, you're the equivalent of a nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm. But here's the counter to the counter to the counterpoint, right? You know, let's just agree that Google puts the price out and says, look, you know, to advertise, if you want to sell tires in Toronto, it's $5. And then someone else says, yeah, but I'll pay $5.10. And then someone else says, I'll pay $5.20. That's not a promise of ad results. It's only a promise of what? The clicks and how competitive it is. And then, for example, coming into winter season in Toronto, you know, winter tires get even more competitive because that's the time of year you upgrade to tires. And all of a sudden, that $5 becomes $10 or comes $12, but just for 30 days. And then it falls back to $3, you know, by the time you get to the month of December because people already made their buying decision. So the point is that, you know, in that space, you know, they're working with advertisers that basically are saying it's a competitive arena. Raise your hand if you want in, and if you don't, step off. You know, so they've got their own every 30-day variety of what? What the price is, what the demand is, what the seasonal trends are, and frankly, they're just bidding it out to an auction, truly to an auction.
And it can be
all over the board because we can work with tire buyers across every market in Canada. For example, in the 30-day period, some markets are $2 and some are $22 for the same darn thing. So it can be as psychedelic as you're feeling the cost per thousand is with newspapers or magazines or niche and specialty publications. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's lots of problems, you know, with the results that Google is generating, and that's a whole sort of different topic. I'm simply saying that, you know, placing some description on how a rate card price is derived is, I think, sometimes can be beneficial to the advertiser.
Right. But here is also the challenge. You also have inherent cost of doing business. So if you went across and said, hey, let's go study 10 newspapers, I'm just using that as an example, with exactly the same CIRC, and let's go look at their CPM, and if we were to agree, and they agreed on that side of the 10 newspapers, and we're going to reset all their rate cards so they're all in alignment, each one of those have a different cost of biz, cost of comp, cost of pub. We could literally remove all profitability, by that reset. So it is some version of no different than Google. If I can get that 200 cost per thousand, if I can get in Toronto $12 instead of $2, for companies that want to sell winter tires, I'm going to get it. It may only be for 30 days, but I'm going to get it. That same happens with, other media groups that say, look, I have to generate that cost per thousand in order to stay in business and be in biz. Then you, in your media bids world, have got to evaluate, is it worth it? Am I getting the clicks? Am I getting the calls? Am I getting the leads? And if you are, you do. And if you don't, you don't. You're out, one way or the other.
Right. And I don't begrudge publications for getting as much as they possibly can. I mean, I'm not suggesting that the publication that's getting, in my example, $200 CPM is somehow ripping people off. I don't think that for a second, right? All I'm saying is that, very often, in my experience, publications don't do a great job in describing why their CPM is what it is, even though there are very good reasons. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes, publications will have a higher editorial percentage than an advertising percentage. Sometimes they'll have, they'll be generating a lot more unique content. My guess is that there's probably some formula you could come up with if you really wanted to spend the time to do it that essentially shows that the publications that are charging the most are probably investing the most. And so therefore, that's a selling point, right? Like that,
right.
That means something about the publication. My point is only that I think that I think that sometimes publications don't do a great job of describing, why it is they deserve, a $200 CPM.
Right, right. You're exactly right, and that is tied to sharing value, case studies, ROIs, testimonials, trackable evidence, and USP. It's that whole formula that has got to all be synced together. Speaking of formula, let's cover point three. Let's talk about when a advertiser says, no, this is lively. I like it. So let's talk about point number three, when a competitor just, when a prospect says, your competitor just sold me an ad at, blank of their rate card, what will you do for me? All right, so this is the meat of the importance of how to handle this piece. And I have never found anything in three decades, Jed, clients around the world that we utilize this piece. This is vitally important, and this is just a little capsule on our Tuesday Academies. We go much deeper. We break all this out. But here's the nugget for all of you joining us. Number one, you have to separate fact from fiction. There's only one way to do that. You've got to record what you learn, period. I've never found anything more significant because it's easy to lose track of who said what, on what day, and what were they getting. And then especially for those of you with larger sales teams, you've got to move that into a centralized collective space. So number one is a central log tracking the date, who said what was the discount, and then get specific. Was it about price, space, editorial, prime placement, whatever that might be. Number two, share it weekly as a team. Make it a lively part of every single week's conversation. What did we learn this week? But the moment you say that, you go right to the actual log, the actual place where it is, and you pull it up and go, in the last 7 days, what did we learn, team? And then all of a sudden go, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to log. I learned something from Sarah. Or I learned, Bill told me, or the agency said they were getting this. So all of a sudden it brings it to life, and it makes it more real every single week with your team that's going to be constantly updating on that. Number three, which we talked about earlier, you have to role play the things that you're learning so that you can use that as a tool from that perspective in order to bring it to life. And then number four is, what is your plan? I mean, what are you going to do with this information? And this is what it means, okay? So, Jed, you say to me, oh, my gosh, yes, I know. With that competitor, the rate is 800, but they're only charging me 750. Ernest, what are you going to do? And I'm like, wow, 750? Jed, what does that mean? What else are you getting? And is this the first time 750? And is this the only issue 750? And I'm going to really drill down, Jed, and stay with you on what that means. And then I'm going to pause, and I'm going to say, wow, Jed, that's really amazing. The rate card's 800. You're only paying 750. And Jed, you can kind of feel your chest puffing up with pride. And, yeah, that's right. I really wrestled under the ground to get my special price. And you say, yep, absolutely. So many are paying 800. And Jed, many are paying $775 for the same thing, or you're paying $750, and you go, yes, I'm feeling great because I'm paying less than everybody else. But Jed, I have to tell you, there are also some that are paying $7.25. As I lower my voice and you look at me, or the voice gets quiet on the phone, I say, and frankly, there's some paying $700, and actually, there's some paying $650.
Right.
And as I'm saying those words, the smoke's coming out of your ears, because a second ago you were all puffed up and all excited. And if you're in person, you actually take your log out and you literally show them and say, look, we keep track of this because I know who that competitor is. And I know the pricing is all over the board. And in fact, there's actually an array of 10 different prices. So the first step is call your rep and ask why you're not getting the $650 when you thought you were paying the best at $750. All of a sudden, that person says, are you kidding? I'm calling Lucy right now. I'm calling Bill right now. I've been in meetings where the speakerphone goes right up. I got owners sitting in here, and I'm paying $750, which I was excited about. The rate was $800. But he just told me that, you know, Mary's paying $650. Is that true? And the rep is silent. Talk about an amazing moment. And for those of you who have worked with us in Power Hour and or our academy, and you've experienced that, you've told me you have, you know there's never, ever a better moment. For those of you that haven't, that's why you're here today, because you're going to experience that. But if you don't keep a log, if you don't keep track, if you don't have the specifics, you can't do that. Now, what does that mean? That means if there are 40 pages of ads in a competitor, and they're all over the place, it's your job to go ring the bell, just like we're talking about. And at some point in time, every one of those ads that were at 800 are now at 650. You take that 150, you carve it into your budget, let alone you've got advertisers that are furious because they've lost, what, trust? And in some cases, the entire campaigns get removed, and you get that budget 100%. In addition, when you take a competitor that thought their rate card was 800 and they built their business model on that, suddenly all the ads are at 650 and it's spiraling down, they no longer are getting and gaining their profitability. Companies suffer incredibly. Sales reps leave, which creates even more transition, which means more inexperienced people are joining teams. And in some cases, entire media groups lose control of their biz and close their doors or sell at a fire sale. That is the rapid version of what this piece means. And it also syncs up as we come around the bend, because we said we'd say a few words about what happens in general when you go to sell your media group. This creates another problem on the back end. Okay? So that is the piece. And then we just wanted to say a few words about rate card increases. As you go into the new year, it shows confidence on the other side. Number two, when you are sharing the value of the media kit, your results, the things you've got planned for the new year, you've earned the right to increase your rate card. And then lastly, your business costs continue to grow and increase. You have to pass through increases on a regular basis. For those of you that are not doing it on a consistent basis, and then you go to try to pass that rate card through, they're like, what do you mean? You haven't increased me in 5 years. Well, this is the time. You actually get more pushback rather than the consistency year after year after year. There's lots more to say about that point, but the principle here, it all syncs up with rate card consistency. The market pays attention. It's about building trust on one side, but do not have a competitor logging and keeping track of your 10 rates with your 10 advertisers, because one day it's going to ricochet back around and they're going to strip out your profitability. So you sort of pause and go, holy smokes, I thought that they were using that as a selling advantage. Now I see there's the exposure, but what I don't want to do is open my back door and have that exposure on the other side. It's a very, very slippery slope from that perspective. Okay? Now, I want to field a quick question, and then we'll pause. I know we're Jed, we're coming up on the top of the hour. Heidi asks a question. Would it be wise to cut the rate for a category of business to pull it into your paper if it will generate potential additional revenue from other categories at the normal rate? Heidi, we call this strategy veins of gold. If you say, look, I want to go sell ads to every chiropractor that's in my market and get them into my newspaper, and there's 10 of them, my question is, how do we get all 10? Because I want them actually to be fighting for placement in my publication, my newsletter, my website, okay? So veins of gold says go deep, scorched earth, go get all of them, okay? And if you said, but wait a minute, but, you know, Rick the chiropractor is the leader of them all. He's the president of the Chiropractor Association. And if I get him, I can waterfall the other 9. Love that. What other value adds? Don't come off the rate card. What other value adds can you utilize to bring in Rick? He's such a leader. And when you get Rick, you go get the other 9. I love that thinking. Just be careful that you don't strip something out. Because if you go out and you sell to Rick at 650 and all the other chiropractors at 800 and you hope that never gets out, It will. Your nose will be in the noose. All 10 of them are going to sit down one day, and either they're going to remove their ads from your newspaper, or they're all going to want $6.50. And by the time you get done with that, they may want $5.50. It gets uglier and uglier on the other side. Okay? So just an important piece from that perspective. Okay? All right, Jed, we've covered a lot of ground. It's always a pleasure working here together. Some closing words at the top of the hour.
Thanks. Thanks to everyone who joined us, and thanks, Ernest. We, again, Ernest always brings a lot of knowledge to these. So, I appreciate all the time and preparation he puts into it.
Beautiful. And Jed, thank you so much. Another wonderful year in our working together. To each of you and all of you, take the time to go look at MediaBids and all the work that they do. They have amazing insight. They will talk to you about your media path and the ability to work with you and drive revenue. And working with Jed and his team, they have the most unique perspective of ad results on one side and media solutions, specifically the print side. Print is not dying. They will tell you why agencies come to them and are willing to spend $20 and $30 for a print lead and $2 and $3 and $5 for a digital lead. Talk to Jed and their team. They'll share lots with you. Come into our site, powerhour.com. We have a wonderful Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. And if you enjoyed what we covered here, these are the kinds of topics we cover on Tuesday, but we go a lot wider, a lot deeper, and we field all of your questions real time every single Tuesday. Make it a great day. Jed, always a pleasure being together, and we'll see all of you into the new year. Take care.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Bye.